Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I am Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier is actually en route. So Brandon Bigsby,
my man,
is on the board with us today. JoJo, what's up? How you doing?
Oh, man, what a beautiful day. We're live here at La Madeline Cafe in Mount Juliet, their grand opening. It's their first location in Tennessee. People have said, oh, you mean the one in New Orleans? That's really, really popular. I said, no, the one in Mount Juliet. And it's open at 9. It's a grand opening. It's absolutely packed in here. So we'll talk to John Dillon. He's the president of La Madeline. And, Rick Bear up as the owner here. So it's a fun day, packed house. Shout out to my good friend Beth at Southern Bank. They brought the office out here today. They're inside here eating, having a good time. So all the good people over at Southern Bank, and Beth, thank you for being here today for this very cool day. And the opening, Chaser, was they had a guy skydive.
Oh, cool.
Landed in a field next to us, and that's
I saw that from the interstate.
Yeah.
When I was on the way in, I was like, is somebody skydiving?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was here.
Which will lead to our question in just a moment, but it's very cool to be out and about, and this place is fantastic. If you're out and about today, come out here to La Madeline in Mount Juliet off Golden Bear Parkway across from the Costco. Come by and say hi. We're here till 3 o'clock today, and so a really, really fun time.
Brando, I hate to do this on the air, but I got to know, how we sounding back there?
Sounding good, crystal clear.
Awesome. That's
sounds
good to know.
Good. Brand new in the submarine.
Well, whatever works.
All right.
We're here. The Predators, unfortunately, the playoff hopes were dashed last night. They lose to San Jose, and L.A. wins, so they're done.
It's over.
They play one game on Thursday, and then the season is done, and the off season begins.
It's one of the worst things in sports. I'll argue all day long. When you pull the goalie, what's the odds that works? 5% of the time? 10?
I don't know. I'd be curious if Vengen's listening. I bet he could find that pretty quick.
That's fine. I think it's one of the worst things in sports, pulling the goalie.
Yeah.
I just do, because – and then they got the open shot, and then it was done. It was over with. All right, the extra attacker on the ice. I don't care.
I mean, look, they had a couple of goals. Luke Evangelista scored a couple and made it exciting there at the end. They had good looks, but like you said, unable to get it to go, and that's how the season goes.
What was the offense for 53 minutes?
I mean, the
biggest game of the year, and you drop an egg? It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Look, we'll talk a lot about it. Chris Mason's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll kind of get his thoughts on it. We'll have time to do a moratorium of the season.
Sure.
You know, however you want to look at it. But it came to an end. There's one more game, but the playoff hopes come to an end. I think considering where this team was in November, the fact that – and Barry Trotz said it yesterday when I had a chance to talk to him on DVD, that where they were in November, the fact that they were playing meaningful games in April is certainly – you know, it's not everything, but it's not what they expected at that point.
Please don't get mad at me. You didn't make the playoffs. It's a complete –
postmortem. Thank you.
Failure. Complete failure. You didn't make the playoffs. I don't care how great you played down the stretch and He got 40 You lost. You didn't make the playoffs. It's a complete failure of a season.
Yeah. And so,
sorry, that's just the way I look at it.
I'm not going to go that far considering I don't think they were picked. Nobody really thought they were going to make the playoffs. So, you know, the fact that you were kind of in the mix for it. But we'll have a lot of time, the post-mortem, thank you, to
You're
talk
welcome.
About that. It was a tough one. Tough one at Bridgestone. They snapped the winning streak against San Jose, and their playoff hopes are dashed. I do want to take some time to start the show. The news came out while I was doing DVD yesterday, but the very sad news that Dave McGinnis, better known as Coach Mack, passed away at the age of 74 yesterday. Coach Mack was a coach with the Titans, former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and many believe that, you know, he kind of helped get that stadium built there in Glendale, you know, with those teams that he had as the head coach of the Cardinals. But longtime friend of Jeff Fisher, was on his staff both here and in St. Louis and L.A., and just became a friend to all of us in the media. Even, you know, as we like to say in the business, even though he was considered across the street, was always very nice with his time. He'd come on with us, and then one day was like, "Well, I guess they told me I can't."
Right.
And and I loved that. Was just a really, really cool guy, and I had the opportunity to sit and listen to him and Floyd tell stories at the combine one year, and just really was gutted. Unfortunately, it kind of found out things weren't looking good, and then got the news yesterday that he had passed. But was one of those that when it hits you, it just crushes you because of just how much he lit up a room and how cool of a guy he was.
So we were at Titans practice one day, and he loved us. He loved talking to us, and a lot of
he loved everybody.
And we're talking about his career, and he's like, you know, the first game I coached in college was against Bear Bryant, and we beat him. And so for about 45 minutes, he went in talking about the Bear Bryant mystique and winning that game and how he evolved from coaching against Bear Bryant to being with Mike Ditka. And he's like, and halfway through it, he's like, he says, "Damn, I'm too blessed." And I was like, man, that's powerful. So we had great talks about football and life and everything. And it's terrible. I mean, they don't make a lot of men like him anymore who cares deeply about players and staff and crew and everybody else involved. And it's crushing. That's a tough one, man. It was, and there's a lot of people that love that man that are that felt it last night and today as well. But it was just great talking football with him, and that story about him facing Bear Bryant, looking across the sideline and seeing that iconic bear houndstooth hat, everything. He's like, "What have I got myself into?" And they won the game. It's like 1975, Missouri beat Alabama, and it's really cool, man. That's a huge loss, man. Huge loss.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And, you know, our thoughts and prayers to his family, our thoughts and prayers to his Titans Radio family, and everyone at 104.5, because, you know, he certainly was a big part of what they were doing over there. You know, I saw Buck put out a really nice tribute to him, and they had obviously gotten very close. And so, look, you know, this is one of those where the battle lines are erased, and you know, they're hurting, and we're hurting with them. So on behalf of all of us here at 102.5, we, you know, want to send our condolences, and obviously with the Titans as well, because Coach Mack was one of one, and he's truly going to be missed. You bring up going over to training camp. One of my favorite parts about going to training camp was standing on the sideline and feeling a hand grab my shoulder and go, "What do we think?" You know?
Right.
And because it happened every time I was over there. He'd find you. You wouldn't go find him. He'd find you. And he did that with everyone. And I thought that was truly just what made him such an amazing person. So, again, Dave McGinnis, gone too soon. Coach Mack, and we're certainly going to be feeling that one for a while.
Amen, brother.
I hate this phrase sometimes, but as they say, the show goes on. So that leads us to our question of the day.
So they had a guy that skydived.
Dove.
Skydove. That's not even skydove. That don't make sense.
Skydive? I don't know.
He was a skydiver. He landed. Our question is, would you ever jump out of a plane and skydive? I'm curious. My brother did hundreds and hundreds of jumps out of a plane when we lived in Hawaii when he was in the Air Force. Told you that's where we met Russ Francis, who was also a skydiver.
Yeah.
Tim Hasselbeck and I have talked about Russ Francis, great tight end. But would you skydive? Would you jump out of a plane? I would not. The guy who did this has had hundreds of jumps. He landed into the field next to La Madeline here in Mount Juliet. And we were all like, oh, man, because the wind is whipping outside. Yeah. He landed perfectly. Would you or have you ever jumped out of – I'm curious, what was your thoughts of jumping out of a plane for fun? I'd like to know. 615-737-1025. Have you or will you ever skydive?
You've asked me this question before. And I think my answer was I would. And I had thought about, like, doing it for my 40th birthday because I know people that have done it. Like, we've talked to Todd Rodemel at Omni about it because I think he's done it a few times. And I'm, like, I want to. I like the idea of it. Like, I think it would be cool, give the thrill. But I also know myself
right?
and my body. And I just don't think it would be a good idea. So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to change my – I think at one time I said yes, but I'm going to change my answer.
Well, for those who have done it, said it's the most exhilarating thing ever.
Yeah, I mean,
ever.
Todd's told us that.
Like, God bless you.
Haley with the buzz has told us that.
I tried to do the one in Gatlinburg where you float in the air, but I was too fat, so I had to wait. You got to be under, like, 240. I'm like, well, I'm not going to hit that goal anytime soon, so we're good.
Yeah. You're going to say no?
I will not say no. I will say maybe.
Okay. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. First-time shooter, shoot for free. Just tell them that I, Chase McCabe, sent you, and check them out at ArriesTactical.com. We'll get your questions throughout the day on that. Chris Mason going to join us at the bottom of the hour at 12:30. Tim Hasselbeck with our weekly conversation with him at 1. And then John McClain's actually going to hop back on at 2. To share some thoughts on Dave McGinnis and his passing. He knew Coach Mack for a long time, and so he's going to share some stories about Coach Mack at 2. But we are live today at La Madeline here in Mount Juliet, right off of Golden Bear Parkway, the grand opening of this place, and it is packed right now. A lot of people, and you've been here for a while, but people have been in here since about 9 o'clock today for the grand opening, which has been very, very cool. So we will tell you more about that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday, live here in Mount Juliet, hanging out. Joe, I'm going to let you do the honors for our next
guest. Thanks, Chase. You don't remember the guy's name, but I do.
It's John. It's John.
Let's welcome in the president and CEO of La Madeline, John Dillon, who's here in Nashville. John, thanks for doing this, man. What an exciting day for you guys.
Oh, great day. First cafe that we've opened in Tennessee as of today.
Yeah, it's crazy. I told you earlier that I told people, hey, we're going to do a remote at La Madeline. And I had half a dozen people say, you're going to New Orleans?
Yeah.
Because it's so popular. I know they're in Mount Juliet. Why does this work? Why are you guys so popular?
I tell people all the time, you know, there's a lot of restaurants out there right now, right? So there's a lot of chicken places or taco places and pizza places or sandwich places. And I could go on and on.
Right.
There are very few kind of French-inspired bakery cafes. So you can come in, and we're sitting right here in front of a fireplace, nice ambiance to the experience when somebody comes in, grabs a croissant, a cake, a nice right. warm cup of soup, a salad, sandwiches. Our menu is fantastic, but the atmosphere is what really sells a lot of people on this brand, right? So it's nice just to come in and hang out, sit by the fireplace, sit by the patio, and just, you know, grab a cup of coffee or a meal. We're very flexible that way. So we fill a niche in the restaurant category that people really enjoy. It's something different.
I told Rick, the franchise owner, so what I like about you guys is everybody's got the best burger in town.
Exactly.
We got the best burger. You guys don't pretend, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like, here's what we're really good at.
Yeah.
You guys can have the burgers. We're good over
here.
Yeah,
we're not going to touch your burgers, right?
Right.
Or your tacos. But at the end of the day, if you want a nice meal, again, it could go with salad, soups, croissants, desserts. Yeah, it could go breakfast, lunch, dinner, brunch. You know, we got mimosas, we got nice coffees.
Keep going.
So you can, yeah, exactly, and I will. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the bakery case while we're talking right now, and I'm hungry.
Good.
You know, so yeah, we're excited. We have about 85 cafes across the country. The Grand started 43 years ago in Dallas, Texas. We do have Louisiana presence. We have 11 different states, now 12 with Tennessee. But we're thrilled to be here, and we think this is the first of many in Tennessee.
Why does a cafe like this fit so well with a town like Mount Juliet?
It is I've grown to love the town of Mount Juliet, first of all, since we started working with them and the franchise owner, you know, Rick, several months ago. So Mount Juliet is very community-focused. We're a brand that fits directly into that, right? So just the people that I've met here just this morning, just being in town for today, I feel like family already, the people that I just met, right? So there's something about Mount Juliet and the community aspect of Mount Juliet, something about the La Madeleine brand. Those two mesh really well. A picture of Venn diagram, right?
Yeah.
Mount Juliet and La Madeleine, that sweet spot in the middle
yeah.
is exactly what we have going on right here. And you can see, you can feel it, you can see it in the crowds that are here right now.
So you mentioned 12 states. The expansion continues, and I have to imagine that there's even more to come.
There's more to come. Yeah, we're working on that right now. So I joined the brand about a year ago. So I've been in the restaurant industry my entire career. I joined La Madeleine a year ago because I believe there's growth to be had in this brand. So we've got more announcements to come soon. We have another 6 cafes opening balance of this year. And we were talking to several folks right now about how we can make that even stronger for you know, 26, 27 in future years.
So. I love it. John Dillon's with us. He's the president and CEO of La Madeleine. I had a restaurateur tell me one time that the biggest selling tactic that he had was word of mouth.
Yes.
Right?
Very much so.
Nothing else. You could spend $1 billion if your food isn't good. Word of mouth, talking to people. I was at the Soft Grand opening a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, and those people are back today.
Yep.
How important is that word of mouth?
That's huge. It's huge for any brand, any restaurant brand especially, but a brand like us, it's worth quite a bit. So, you know, I've met so many people since joining La Madeleine. And I grew up on the brand in Dallas.
Right.
So I know it well as my mother's favorite brand, my wife's favorite brand.
There you go.
My daughter worked at a La Madeleine in high school, right? So it's in my blood, too.
Yeah.
But I still haven't met a single person, I swear to you, that when I say La Madeleine, they don't light up. Some haven't heard of it, right? Especially in a state like Tennessee where we're just coming in. But those that know the brand, they love the brand, and they end up telling their friends and family about it. So it's up to us to give that great experience, provide them best food, which we do, right? And then that word of mouth starts. I would say at a brand like La Madeleine, even more so than other brands. So we do expect that, but it comes naturally to us.
I love it. And the guy that told me about word of mouth also said that we eat with our eyes.
We very much do.
Right now, and this guy was great.
That's true.
I'm like, right, so we with our eyes.
I need to hire that guy.
Right. So you got the open. You can see the desserts and everything.
Oh, we do that
right?
for
so
a reason, yeah.
I'm eating with my eyes.
You totally are. Yeah, and we put that right by that register there. So when people, and they're checking out, they're ordering their food, they're probably going to add on something. They're going to add on a dessert for their meal today or something to take home, right? We have that Sacerdote cake or the cheesecake or our coconut cake. I mean, these are famous La Madeleine menu items. I can't wait for more of the people of Mount Juliet and Nashville to really, you know, try and enjoy. And that's where that word of mouth is going to keep going.
Yeah, and you mentioned your background in restaurants, Denny's, Pizza Hut.
That's
I mean,
right.
You've worked for some big brands, I think you could take this places.
Exactly, that's the plan. That's why they brought me in, I believe, and I believe we can go places. Yeah, Denny's, we had 1,600 restaurants. You know, Pizza Hut had many. I lost count of how many Pizza Hut has, but more than that.
Right.
So, well, man, we have about 85, 86 right now, but plan is to double in size in the next 4 or 5 years.
Getting it done. I asked you earlier about being the present CEO and walking in a place and the staff's very cognizant that you're here. And it's like, that's a fine line. Because I remember I work at a restaurant and the boss would come in and be like, oh, God, he's here.
Yeah.
But you have said, look, I'm laid back. I'm over in the corner. Don't look at me.
You guys are fine. I try to interact more with guests and just let the team members do their job. They're working incredibly hard. You see with crowds like this, they're working really hard. And it's about encouraging them, giving them a nice smile, handshake, and just letting them do what they do, right? And as much as I can, how can I support them? But really, how can I also stay out of the way and keep the guests in the dining room as happy as possible? Too.
One more question, and you're a very smart man. You know the industry well. How important? And I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you. How important is location?
Pretty darn important. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's the old real estate adage, right? Location, location, location. It matters in restaurants, too. It absolutely does. If you're kind of, in this case, those that don't know where we are here, we're right across the street from a Costco.
Right.
We don't do that by accident,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So where Costco goes, you know business is going to go, you know, whether it's weekday, weekends, et cetera. Texas Roadhouse just opened. They had a phenomenal grand opening. So we look at other restaurant brands. We're like, a lot of people would say, hey, you don't want to be close to X, Y, and Z brand.
Right.
If they're a successful brand, we want to, that's exactly where we want to be. Because there's traffic, there's eyeballs, there's people just, it becomes their traffic pattern. So they come, they mix us into the rotation. That's what we want. So location absolutely matters.
I think it's great. Yeah. Thank you. I know you're busy.
You
John
yep.
Dillon,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks you guys for being here.
We'll tag this. We'll send it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
You can see you made the big time in
I
Nashville.
I love it. I love it.
On the Chase and Big Joe show.
Yeah, right? That is right. John, great. Thanks so much
thank
for
you
doing this
appreciate
and having
you,
us
appreciate
here.
It.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you guys.
John Dillon, he's the president and CEO of Le Madeleine. And we'll have more from here in Mount Juliet coming up next on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. We're live at Le Madeleine in Mount Juliet. But continuing the Predators discussion, and we want to hear from you. We know that you you guys want to talk about it and vent, but unfortunately the playoff run or hopes come to an end last night against the San Jose Sharks. And to talk more about that, we bring in Predators analyst for FanDuel Sports and Nashville Predators, Chris Mason, who is on the line with us. Mace, appreciate you doing this. And unfortunately, one game left, but no playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know, it was a heck of a ride, to be honest. And, you know, I'm part of the crew that I thought at the trade deadline, and even at some points before that, I thought, you know, really, they didn't really have a realistic shot of getting there or anywhere near there. And at the deadline, it was, you know, I thought, all right, well, we're going to get a chance to see some young guys, but there's no way that they're going to make a run to the playoffs, especially when you look at the schedule and all those types of things. But these guys did. I mean, that was an impressive run. And for them to be, you know, in it until the very second last game of the year, I thought was an incredible run and just a testament to the guys in that room, the veteran players that kind of kept that belief when, you know, not a lot of people, I don't know if anybody outside of the locker room and the coaching staff and the organization thought they would get there, and they almost did. And I just think when you look at that, I know some people in the media made fun of the meaningful hockey quote. They said that a lot. And, you know, I know that a lot of people didn't think that they would be playing meaningful hockey, but when you look at the games that they played and the value that all those young players got from that run and seeing, you know, Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly and all those veterans go through what is essentially a playoff, you know, style of game to try to get into the playoffs and all the commitment that goes into it. I think, you know, you had a really good situation and a good season. That's something they should be proud of. They didn't get in, but that was a good season, a lot of benefit out of it, in my opinion.
There are a lot of things we're going to talk about, Chris, you know, over the course of the next few weeks to kind of break down the season. But I do want to start with something that you could give your expertise on, because you've been in this situation as a goaltender. You had both goalies playing well at the end of the season. And going with Juuse Saarinen last night in the last few games, to me, was not an indictment of UC Saros. It was more of you're riding the hot hand, and the way that Saarinen has played, he deserved more playing time. And so it was more kudos to him than anything else. But how do you feel like Andrew Brunette and the coaching staff handled the goalies down the stretch, knowing that you had both of them playing at a pretty high level?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you could look at every game. I think personally that was the right call. I've been in this situation, and I think anybody, you know, internally, when you're going that you need to win that game, I think it's your duty as an organ, as a coach, to give your team the best chance to win that hockey game. And to me, as you said, it's no indictment of UC Saros. He's playing great, but Juuse Saarinen was just at a level that, you know, you had to recognize, and you had to, you know, give your guys the best chance to win that game on that night. And I think it was him. So both guys were good. I mean, UC Saros has been in that situation, you know, before when Pekka was, you know, kind of at the end. I'm not saying UC's at the end, but in, you know, when he was taking over that number one spot and throughout the yeah. season, I mean, you gotta give it to the guy that's going. I've been there when, you know, when a guy's playing good or playing, especially the way on it, it's not like he was just playing good. He was playing out of his mind. He's probably the hottest goaltender in the National Hockey League. Saros obviously wants to play. He was playing well, but I think, you know, you can understand the decision. So I think that, you know, ultimately that was the right decision. Preds weren't able to score or really generate much offense last night. It was definitely not Juuse Saarinen. I thought he played another solid game. But, you know, I thought that's the right play at the end of the season there.
Chris Mason is with us on the show. Chris, good talking to you, buddy. How have we been doing?
Doing good, bud. Been a heck of a season. Been a grind, but a fun team to follow. How about yourself, big boy?
I was listening one night and on TNT, I think it was, and then I heard you call on the game. I think it was Edmonton and somebody. So I was like, I know that guy. So I was very proud of you.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it, buddy. We've got some good chats, and I appreciate you. Always.
Sure, man. Always. Hey, let me ask you this, and then Chase asked the really good questions about the season, the team. I want to ask about – I'm not a fan, Chris, of pulling the goalie. I'm not. I know the extra attacker. Where do you stand on that? I just knew last night when they pulled him out of goal and get the extra – I was like, this is not going to end good. And it hardly ever ends well. Am I missing the point on this, Chris?
Honestly, I go back and forth with that all the time because, I don't know, for whatever reason, this year it seems like, you know, the Preds just haven't had much success with the goalie pull. And I know, you know, like everything else in hockey, it's very analytically based, and they go on the percentages, and you do increase your odds. But I agree with you. I think so many times now you see so many empty net goals, and it just doesn't work out. But I guess at the end of the day, it gives you the best chance of getting that goal. It also increases your chance of giving up a goal, which I don't know how you measure that, but I don't know. It just seems like it just hasn't worked out this year for the Preds, and I haven't really looked around the league, but It's always a tough one. Obviously, you're going to get the puck more. You're going to put more pressure. But if that puck gets into the neutral zone, it's almost, you know, it seems like every time you get a goal scored. So, I don't know. I've been going back and forth to you, Joe. I don't really have a definitive answer for you, though.
I understand it. All right. Can this be a problem, the two goalies and who's going to start and this and that, as we head into the offseason and into the preseason and the next year? Could this be a distraction, Chris?
I don't think so. I mean, when you're playing at this level in this league, I think you're going to get that every year at every position, and I think that's good. I think when you go in, you should have healthy competition, and that's where when you get a goaltender like Eustace Onanen when he was, you know, 24, 25 years old, you're hoping that you get to this position as an organization where this young goaltender is growing, he's getting better, and he's pushing, you know, the number one guy, and for the number one guy, which is UC Saros, you know, that competition it's a healthy thing. These guys are friends. You know, they are competing for that one net, and they both want to play. And I know Saros wants that net, and Onanen wants to play as well. And that doesn't affect their friendship. These guys are, you know, probably their biggest cheerleaders, but that doesn't mean they're not competing against each other and themselves really to get that playing time. I don't think it creates a problem at all. I actually think it's a good thing. If you have two guys, you know, fighting for that net, and, you know, down the road, depending on what decisions have to be made, when you have two good goaltenders, you know, that's opens up some options as well down the road for, you know, getting assets or that type of thing as well. So I think it's good.
Chris, we got a new GM's going to come in, and some fans are like, oh, no. But some fans are like, hey, this could be a good thing, a rebirth, you know, a kind of exciting time for the Nashville Predators. Do you see when a Preds fan says it could be an exciting new adventure for this team? Do you understand what they're talking about?
Yeah, I really do. I think, you know, this is an opportunity for the organization when, you know, Barry announced that he wasn't coming back, for them to really – you know, like they've done, take the time, interview everybody they think could be a viable option. You know, there's so much emphasis on, you know, the analytic part of it. I think, you know, they could bring maybe more than one person in the organization, but it's going to give them an opportunity to really identify that one guy, you know, that can really, you know, be the person that in the direction that they want to go. And I think, you know, Barry Trotz, and I think, has done a really good job, and, you know, Jeff Kelce and Scott Nickel and everybody in the scouting staff, of giving this new general manager, you know, a nice canvas to work with. You've got lots of draft picks. You've got, you know, some veteran players that have expiring contracts. You've got young, you know, young up and comers that are playing really well. And I think, you know, that person, whoever they decide on, is going to have some good opportunity to really kind of do what he wants to do, whether he, you know, tries to trade, you know, veteran players. You have
Steven Stamkos coming off a, just an unbelievable year. You know, you have Ryan O'Reilly, who is at the end of his contract, who, you know, probably could get a pretty penny at the draft and things like that. Or they decide they want to keep those guys. But they've also got lots of draft picks. They could either, you know, keep stock in the cupboards, or you could package up some of those along with some of those other players. And, you know, you've got versatility is what I'm saying. So I think it's exciting to see who they pick and then what the vision is of that general manager moving forward for this team here in the near future. It's it is exciting for sure.
Chris Mason is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show, kind of building off that, you know, some of the young guys that we got to see. I felt like, you know, even though you missed the McCarron and a Cole Smith and some of the guys that were traded at the deadline, you know, what we saw out of Schaefer and Joachim Kimmel towards the end and Ufko and some of these young guys that came in make me feel confident that, you know, they're going to continue to grow and be pretty good players for this team for years to come. What was kind of your evaluation of those youngsters?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, ideally it's the direction the team had to go. You know, I know they tried to make other moves at the deadline, and, you know, I know some people were upset that certain players didn't get traded, and it wasn't because they didn't try to do that, but it opened up a lot of opportunity to see what these players are all about. And I think, you know, to me, the biggest one, I think, was Matt Wood moving to center. I think for him to go there and have success at that position the way that he did, I still think, you know, when I watch him play, I think he's only going to get better. I think he could really, you know, shoot the puck more, and I think there's more to his game. I think he's going to put on, you know, man strength and size as he gets a little bit older here. So that was really exciting for me. I thought Zach LaRue came up, did a really good job. I think we all know what kind of player he is. He's got a little bit of skill. He's that, you know, kind of rat that'll get in there and stir it up. I think for Schaefer, I think he's got some tools there. I think for him, I think he maybe has to, you know, realize and take the next step in asserting his size and using his physicality a little bit more. But I think he's got, for a big man, he skates well, he's got skill. That's not an easy role to come up as a young kid and do in this league. But I think for him, I think, you know, after having seen it, I think he can, you know, evaluate and come back bigger and stronger and be able to do that. And then Joachim Kimmel, I thought he got better as that season went on. And you can see that, you know, there's some glimmer there for a young 21-year-old to keep taking strides forward. So I thought it was a great opportunity to see a lot of those young guys, you know, in especially in the games that they were playing. Every night was a playoff game for this team. It wasn't like you're going down and like last year, they were pretty much out of it in January and you're playing the games and it's not the same expectations and pressure night in, night out. And I think those young players did a heck of a job going down the stretch. And, you know, moving forward, I think that's, you got a good base, especially with Matt Wood at center. I think that was huge.
Chris, as we let you go, prediction for the Stanley Cup final, what two teams do you think will meet up that you've seen this year that are the best?
Oh, man, I don't know. I think this might be the hardest year. I think out of the East, I honestly think anyone in the Eastern Conference could come out. That's how good I think it is. I would love to see Buffalo. I don't know. Montreal look good. You can never obviously count out Tampa, but I honestly think every team, like Philadelphia, Boston, all these teams, I think have a chance in the East. Out of the West, I can't not see it being Colorado, to be honest with you. I think if they get going and they get their game up to the level that, you know, their top level, I don't think anybody can compete with them, but the only thing is, you know, Colorado, Dallas and Minnesota are probably going to kill each other in the first round. Then they got to play Colorado. So I think whoever gets out of that, if it's, you know, Colorado, Dallas or Minnie, whoever gets out of that second round, I think is going to be the representative for the West in the Cup final. In the East, there's just too many teams. I literally think everyone that's in the East has a chance.
Chris, appreciate it as always, and obviously great job by you and everybody on the team this year on the broadcast crew. Always love watching and listening, and looking forward to Scripps Media and all of that next year. It's going to be a lot of fun, but thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, thanks, Phil. It was great talking to you. Take care.
Absolutely. Chris Mason joining us here on the program, affectionately known as C-Mace.
And,
does a great job with Willie and Kara and Hal and Lindsay and everybody involved in that crew. And what we want to do now is 615-737-1025. What's the first thing you want to see happen besides the obvious of a new GM being named? When the new GM gets in here, what's the first move in your opinion? 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion from La Madeline and Mount Juliet here at 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're live at La Madeline here in Mount Juliet. The grand opening today. We talked to their CEO earlier, John Dillon, and pretty cool. This is a perfect little cafe for Mount Juliet, and glad that we could be here today. Hey, tee it up with us for the fifth annual 615 Open. It's coming up May 28th at Hermitage Golf Course, and once again, we're supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. Register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com. So what do you want to see the Predators do after the GM is hired, the season coming to an end Thursday night? And my day is wrong.
Yeah, your day's wrong, buddy.
Yeah, Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena against the Anaheim Ducks, but not going to make the playoffs. What are the moves that you want to see? And there's a few obvious ones that I'm expecting people to say, but Mike in Lebanon wants to, I want the new GM to roll with this coach and team another year and then decide on any changes. Trotz broke up the team when he started it, and it was a setback and hurt Andrew Brunette. What do you think of that?
Did he? I don't know.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, what moves are you talking about specifically that would have hurt Andrew Brunette?
Did he get rid of what's the guy's name that went to Dallas? Duchesne?
Duchesne, yeah.
Did that hurt Brunette?
I don't think so. I don't think he was a fit, so I think that's why he moved on. 4312 says, I hope the new GM picks a lane. Either burn it down to the studs or go for it. I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think that's a, you know, kind of, I understand what Barry's been saying of, you know, the plan is in pen, the path is in pencil. And look, we're seeing some of those things.
Say that again.
The plan is in pen, the path is in pencil.
Oh, that's strong.
I do like that. But I think for the fan base, it's kind of hard for them to picture that of, well, what does that mean? And so I think the plan's going to stay pretty much the same. Like, they're going to try and keep building, transition. Barry's used the phrase transition quite a bit.
Let me ask you this. What do you not want to see? You want O'Reilly still be here? Keep Forsberg around?
I would at this point go one more year. I'm with Mike and Lebanon that I would ride one more year with what this setup is. Look at some free agents, see where your young guys are at to add them to the fold, and you know let's continue to have the transition with the younger guys. They got a lot of good prospects that are on the way. So, you know, I think you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be burning to the studs and. Get rid of Duchesne, or not Duchesne, get rid of, they did that already.
Hey, yeah, here
Forsberg and Stamkos and all those guys. And look, if they do that, then make it all or nothing. Like, go for it. Otherwise, I think try and build a competitive roster that can do something next year. Now, Dave was the first one to say what I knew somebody was going to say. Fire Andrew Brunette. Okay. And I think you have to 100% leave that up to the general manager or president of hockey ops or whoever that is going to be, that just like Barry Trotz did, let them come in and go, you know what, I like what this coach is doing, I'm going to keep the coach. Or come in and go, I think he's a good coach, but I have my coach, and I want my coach to be here, so I'm going to bring in my coach.
Yes.
But it's got to be that person's, decision.
Exactly.
If somebody like Tom Fitzgerald is involved, my guess is Brunette's going to stay, because Brunette was not only a teammate, but was also with him in New Jersey when he was there as the general manager. Bruno was there as an assistant coach, so there's familiarity there. you could have somebody that has no ties to the organization that could come in and go, you know what, I think this group could use a different voice, and you make the change, and then all of you have to be prepared for Andrew Brunette to go get another job and probably do pretty well. I do think he's a good coach. Okay. But I can see both sides of it. I'm not trying to be Switzerland, but I can 100% see both sides of it.
Well, I agree. I think a GM needs to come in and let him pick every. It's like an athletic director, right? I mean, you always hear like, "Well, that's not his coach. He didn't hire that basketball coach." That's why GM, you bring in your people, and I do not fault the GM who does that at all at any level in any sport.
Yeah. So, I think that is going to be probably the big thing of. Does the coaching staff – well, the first big thing the new GM or the new front office is going to do is who in the current front office stays, and then what does that look like, and then the coaching staff. And then you go from there. I really have no – I think Andrew Brunette did a really admirable job, especially after the deadline, but even before that, of getting this team bought in and even having them – sniff the playoffs,
right?
Because I thought there was gonna, and look, there were a lot of you that were saying fire him in November, and I didn't necessarily disagree with you, but you know, I think they're you know, stuck with it and let him try and work out of it, and he almost did. Now, is that good enough to keep his job? I don't know. You know, I wouldn't think Barry Trotz would make that decision, and the decision being fire him before the new GM is hired, but he very well could. I don't think so, but he could.
I think tomorrow night after the game, Barry needs to go to his office, clean his stuff out. Everybody pats him on the back, and I think no more decisions need to be made by him.
Well,
I mean, you're done. The season's over.
Right.
You didn't make the playoffs. It failed. You didn't get there. Take care.
Well, look,
we'll always love you.
What everybody needs to understand is he's going to have his handprints all over this draft, whether you like it or not. He's going to, because they're at that point. I mean, the draft's in 2 months, so.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, the pre-scout and kind of looking at, yes, a new GM could come in and you know, pick the players, but Barry's team and Barry himself are going to have a lot of say in the players that get drafted this year, because they're the ones that have done all the work.
Okay, did you not think this other GM could be bringing in his evaluation, his people?
Sure, but again, a lot of that stuff is done during the season, so you're not going to have a ton of time to institute all that.
Well, I'm sure they probably 90% of the guys were the same.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you're looking, hey, there's this guy in Latvia. Oh, yeah, we know about him.
Latvia.
There's this guy in Rayon City. He's a hell of a scout. Oh, we already know about him.
Yeah, Mike Organ. He's a hell of a defenseman.
So what do you think the timetable is for a GM? Next 30 days? By May 15th, will they have a GM?
I would hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's too late? June 1st?
I think they would at least have the president of hockey operations. Because if they go that direction, then I think you probably have him name the GM.
Okay.
You know, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what any of that looks like. They could just go with one person, but I know that the reports have been, and kind of listening to Barry talk, that it almost feels like they're going to go with that model. So,
all right, we'll see then.
We will see. We'll get back into the Preds a little later in the show, but coming up next, Tim Hasselbeck going to join us a week before the draft from ESPN and Innsworth. We'll get his thoughts on some things in the NFL here on 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips, and being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you can trade the entire tournament on Kalshi. Spain is currently trading at over 17% to win it all, meaning a $100 trade pays out over $530 if they win soccer's biggest prize. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code JUMP to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.